Hello, welcome back to another episode of the David Hessian Podcast. Today I have another guest on. It's Kieran Leinster. He's a personal trainer, professional boxer, and I know him through the Spearman Fitness Mastermind course. How are you today, Kieran?
Yeah, good, cheers, mate. How about yourself?
Great, no, can't complain. So tell everyone a little bit about your story, how you got started in the fitness industry, a little bit about your boxing career.
So kind of growing up, boxing was always in the family. So my dad used to box. He was like the regimental boxing champion when he was in the army. But I never really got into it. I've kind of had little spats of doing it here and there. But yeah, never really got into it properly. And then I got into uni, got a bit of the fresh as fat. And so I was like, right, let's start getting in shape again. I was never in shape before that really. But I was like, let's actually start getting in shape, getting my fitness back. When I found like a local mixed martial arts gym in Richmond called Combat Company, went there and there was just an unbelievable setup. And we used to just basically stay there like all night. And I just get in there like 4 or 5 o'clock and we'd stay in there till like 9, 10, just doing like mad classes, just sparring. So that was a mixed martial arts gym. So I did everything from like Muay Thai, wrestling, just like MMA, just loved it. So I had fights. I've been in there about 4 or 5 weeks and my coach was like, do you want to fight? And I was like, yeah. It's like, just in my, I'm one of these people. I'm just like, let's grab the ball by the horns.
Yeah,
so I just
ended
up going like fights in just like all disciplines. My first fight was one of the most random things you'll ever experience. It was in the middle of a field. They'd set up this ring in a Thai festival in the middle of like Epsom. And and it was like raining and I'm sitting in the back of this field, like having a fight. It was like a traveler fight or something. That's almost like what it seemed like.
Bare knuckle boxing.
Yeah, mate, it was so funny. It's like this little Thai festival. So we had these like Thai fights going on. And from there, it's just literally kind of went headfirst into the unlicensed scene, just boxing, doing mixed martial arts, just fighting basically. We had got this new boxing coach who came in. He was just, me and him clicked, you know, you just meet some people and you're just on a wavelength. Yeah. I loved his style. We just kept training together and then just kept like having boxing fights and just kept winning. And then like won a couple of local area titles, like won both of those against like much bigger, like much more experienced lads. And that's when I was like, I might actually be quite good at this. And then fast forward, went to like this Queensbury Boxing League, which is like sort of like premier sort of boxing platform for sort of unlicensed boxing. The fights were like streamed on Eurosport and stuff. Yeah, when they like won their national title and then lost my first fight, it was like my 15th or 16th fight, was my when I fought for the British title against a lad who had represented, been in the GB squad, like represented the UK and all this sort of stuff. But yeah, so and then from there, end up going out fighting in like Tenerife, got selected for a team to represent the UK and fight out in Ghana as well. So got to go to Ghana for 10 days, which was unbelievable. And then, sort of made the move, went professional, had a few fights pro, and last one was in April.
Amazing. Jeez. Some journey that. And what age were you when you started boxing, did you say?
So properly, it was only when I was at uni, so it must have been about 18.
That's mental, because usually pro boxers started when they were like 6, 7, like just starting from
exactly. And that's the thing, like a lot of the guys that I fought and beat were like that. So I just tried to make the most of it. So I just dedicated my life to it. Like for about 8, 9 years, that's all I did. You'd wake up and train like 2, 3 times a day.
You can tell you're that type A personality.
It was hard, but that's the thing. When you're boxing lads who have growing up with the sport, it makes it very difficult. So you're almost like handicapped when you start, but got to play the hand you're dealt, haven't you?
And how did you get into personal training, into the industry? Was it soon after that, or was it after you quieted down a bit with the boxing?
An organic process, really, because obviously I've been coming from sort of uni where I was on the beers a lot and all that sort of stuff, and then started getting in a lot better shape when I was training a lot more. So I had people constantly ask me about like my training styles and asking for training programs and little nutrition plans and stuff like that. So I was kind of doing those on the side, like not many of them. I was just like helping a few people like get into shape and that, just like helping like friends cut weight for holidays and sort of like the usual antics. And then I left uni and I went into this sales job, like selling like advertising space in a conference news magazine. And mate, I just wanted to deep throw a pistol. It was horrendous. It was the most soul destroying job I've ever had. I lasted there about a month or 6 weeks, binned it off, got a job in a pub to pay my rent and just did my PT qualifications. Yeah. I had one of my good friends actually who I used to like, he kept asking me to take him on the pads and teach him how to do pads, who was a personal trainer. He's a really successful personal trainer as well. And then so I was doing him on the pads one day and he was like, why don't you just sack your job off and do your PT qualifications and I'll help you out with something. So I ended up doing that. And yeah, from one I've never looked back. Went from hating Mondays to don't know what day of the week it is now with what I do.
I'm the exact same. That's one thing I found when moving into the PT space is you might work 7 days a week, but you don't get that Friday high, then Monday blues that you're used to in your 9-to-5 job, you know?
Yeah, I call it fun employed.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. And how do you find it then? Like, do you train like boxers, athletes, or what kind of people do you train? Is it a mix of everything?
No, my main, like, I'd like to do more stuff with, say, athletes, but the thing is it takes so much time and you have to be so specific with each individual athlete. That obviously where I'm professional and I do so much of my own training as well, I can't really dedicate the time to someone like that. So if I'm honest, I connect more with, say, sort of your average bloke, your average sort of like young adult male up until about mid 40s who just wants to get like athletic, wants to get physically fit, and he just wants to learn to kind of box really.
And athletes,
so like my little slogans, I like to help blokes like knock fat and stress out of their life, because there's nothing more than stress relieving than punching something.
Yeah, 100%. And plus, on top of that, like you're saying, athletes, it takes a lot of time to train them. Athletes don't have money either. That's one thing. Yeah, like people think exactly. That they have the money for it, but no, like if you're going to invest that much time in them, they're not going to be able to pay for it either. So it has to be a passion project.
Unless you're with someone who's got either huge sponsorship deals or who is sort of like on that fast track to the top level, then there's no money in sort of like elite sport.
Yeah. So you do a bit of training with like fat loss people, and what does your training look like with them? Do you integrate a bit of boxing into their training?
First thing I do, so all my training sessions are basically kind of split between kind of like boxing fitness, and then sort of like a large majority of it they will be strength training. So to give that nice like built athletic physique, need to do strength work, you need to obviously increase your muscle mass, and that's what most people I find in the general population are going to benefit more from, is increasing their muscle mass and getting a good sweat on as well.
Yeah, because when you increase like the amount of muscle mass, people think, especially with women, you find that when they come into the gym they think, oh, if I start putting on muscle, I'll get bulky. And it's like, no, when you start training, like resistance training, you're going to be burning more calories constantly as you build up a bit of mass. And then they're like, they actually end up losing weight. They end up getting leaner. So that's
something I'd implement as well. Something I say to everyone as well is when you speak to people about doing, because you obviously, when I just go into, and I walk around, so I work in the big box, I work in the Fitness First in Hammersmith. I'm going to go around now and just talk to people. And you see people just hammering, say, cardio equipment. Just go over and talk to them. They're just like, yeah, I'm trying to burn fat. And I'm like, okay. And like, obviously you need to do cardio. It's going to really assist you. I'm like, but the two main things when it comes down to fat loss is, how's your diet? And are you doing any strength training? And then 9 times out of 10, diet's always flaky and they're not doing any strength training. It's like, we both know you are here because you want to eat more food. Like, that is what it all comes down to. People want to be able to consume more calories and not get fat. I'm like, if you build up muscle, you're like the base of your muscle, I'm like, you'll be able to eat more because your metabolism will increase.
Yeah.
Because muscles, organic tissue, isn't it? So every movement you do, that's your muscles contracting, releasing, which is calorie burn. So if you have more of that tissue, that's more calories burning every time you do a little movement. And then as soon as you say that, it's almost like a lot of people have this little like penny drop moment. They're like, really? And you're like,
yeah. Yeah, so as well. Like people think when they go into the gym and the more they sweat, the more they're burning. It's like, no. And plus, when you go into a workout, no matter how intense it is, like you're probably only going to burn a couple of hundred calories. Whereas like your body's burning like 1,800, 200,000 plus just at rest, because that's what your body needs to maintain itself, all the stuff that's going on. So if you build up the lean mass in your body, you're just going to increase that basal metabolic.
That's one thing I say to all my clients, the amount of calories you burn in that, say, hour and a half session in the gym, in comparison to all the calories you'll burn over the rest of the day, it just doesn't compare. It's like, so it's like, and that's what we say about things like NEAT, like your non-exercise activity thermogenesis, is trying to be as active as possible, moving around. So that's why little things like Fitbits are good, to make sure you're getting your steps in, you're being as active as you can, just to keep that calorie burn going consistently.
100%. Another thing I was going to ask you is, as like a PT, what would be your advice to me? I'm a few years behind you. What would be your advice to your 20-year-old self if you were to go back again?
20-year-old self would be, believe in yourself, mate. If I'm honest, believe in yourself. Like, go and talk to everybody. Because you're obviously, you're a knowledgeable lad, like having spoken to you. You're intelligent. You know essentially what people need. It's going to benefit their lives when it comes to things like fat loss. So just get out there and have the confidence to go up and talk to people. Like, it seems quite intimidating almost, but when, like, some of the best clients that I've actually picked up was it's going up to them and literally when they're running on a treadmill, like you see people like running a treadmill or they're on the cardio, they've got their headphones in, just go up and just like, obviously don't just like grab them from behind, like go up in front of them and then fly off the back, like go up in front and just start talking to them, like talk to everyone in the gym, learn everyone's names and try and find everyone's pain points, and trust me, you'll be on to a winner.
No, that's great advice, really. It's like, but the reason it's such a difficult thing, and it's weird, is going up talking to someone when you don't know them. Was they say the three biggest fears people have in life: dying, public speaking, and dying while public speaking. Yeah. So like for me, that's definitely true.
Yeah, it's true. But it's the same with everything. I guess like everything in life comes down to your self-confidence, doesn't it, really?
Oh, 100%.
Same reason why like lads will fight on a night out. It's like, why are you sitting there trying to get aggressive with me? There's five girls right there. So why don't we just go and talk to them?
Yeah. Oh, 100%. You're dead right. For sure, it's even like...
Sorry, mate. Give me 1 second. My doorbell just rang.
No worries, I'll pause this. Sorry there, just a bit of technical difficulties again. So, starting back, where do you see yourself in 10 years? A bit of a contrast to what would you say to your 20-year-old self, but where do you see yourself in 10 years? Where would you like to see yourself?
It'd be funny to see what I would have said to that answer when I was 20.
Yeah.
Interesting to see, well, because that's obviously only a couple of years away now, so it'd been interesting to see what I would have been saying then as to where I am right now. 10 years time, that's big, you know.
It's a bit like what we're doing on the mastermind there, where do you see yourself next year? But at least you can listen back to this in 10 years time.
Yeah, definitely. I want to be in a position where I maybe hire a couple of PTs to be doing the majority of my work for me. Just overseeing like a good little foundation. So I've got a few things on at the minute with like some like corporate healthcare work and some like teaching school kids boxing. So I really want to kind of start trying to push that a bit more as well, just helping more people. So I'd love to be in a position where I can almost basically just like subcontract out like PTs or just employ PTs and get them going around, just really trying to push that kind of message of getting kids being active and just getting sort of busy 9-to-5 people and busy corporate people just being more active, being more mindful of their health.
Yeah, 100%. Trying to teach people about like how to be healthy. It's crazy too that we're even talking about this. And like, I 100% agree with you. But when I was in school, I couldn't think of anything worse than teachers or talking or even ever thinking of being a teacher. But then when you nearly go full circle when you start PTing and your main job is teaching people how to be healthy. It's crazy. Like, I was the worst student ever, but now I kind of want to help people learn about this kind of stuff.
It's one of the reasons as well I love this job. Like, within the, as a PT, there you are so many different fucking types of people as a result. Like, you're almost like a therapist to say, because you'll get certain clients who will all come at you with, everyone's obviously very unique and everyone's got their own issue, their own sort of problems, their own demons they're facing, all these things. And essentially, I think when you build up such a good connection, especially with clients that you see quite often, and they will just drop everything on you, and you essentially have to take it because you are. And as I've become to a lot of my clients sometimes as well, you become a very close friend, and you just help them combat anything they're going through. So, yeah. So you do essentially become like a therapist. It's mad.
People tell their personal trainer more than they tell their doctor. That was the biggest surprise for me, like when I started this, the amount of stuff you get told. And like, sometimes it's actually really helpful. So it's good that people do that. But yeah, it's crazy. Something else I want to ask you is,
exertion. I think it's something about that exertion that makes people to release. Have you ever had, like a sports massage?
Yeah.
Like a consistent massage therapist. They're the same. They'll just start rubbing me. And when they're just like rubbing out all your knots and everything, it's almost like you just kind of open up and you just say something. You're like, fucking hell, that's pretty deep, mate. They probably say exactly the same thing.
Yeah. So we talk a lot about like your network being your net worth as well in the mastermind course. And something I was thinking about is like, you know, the whole thing of your five people you surround yourself with most. Let's say as far as like social media goes, who would be like your top five people that you follow, people that you consume online?
I'm quite big. So I'd say my top five. So I'll probably look at between podcasts and would probably be like Instagram and that. Would probably be like, you know, Danny Lennon from Sigma Nutrition. I say now recently as well, Chris Spearman.
Yeah.
Follow like a lot of his work. His work now. I really like James Smith. I really like the way he comes across in his approach, just the fitness and he's calling people out. Like,
that's who I thought of when you said it, saying you were working as a salesman for a while. It's very like his background, starting off salesman, PT, like fuck this sales job.
A couple more would be probably like Brian Keane as well. Brian Keane.
Oh, you follow him?
Yeah. Well, he went to the same uni as me.
Oh, really? Okay, I've been following him for probably like 6 years now. He's like one of the first people I was following on Instagram. That's literally how I got into like podcasting. He's number one guest I want to get on this at some stage.
Yeah. So
hopefully. And who'd you say the last one was?
Probably say Mark Coles more actually than the other person. Mark, okay. Have you heard some Mark Coles work?
No, I don't watch too much of his. The only one there is really there.
He's a lot like Chris.
Okay.
So he's kind of like a very successful personal trainer, kind of built up this huge baseline. He trains PTs.
That's cool. Yeah. No, just Chris and Brian would be the main two out of the people you named, and James that I'd follow a lot. Them three. So very similar. I can't believe you know Brian. That's crazy.
I don't know personally, because I think he might have graduated a year or two older. It's only from listening to his podcast, I remember him saying that he went to St. Mary's, and because obviously he was like West End, literally the same unit we went to.
That's crazy, because I literally live about 20 minutes away from him, so small world.
Oh, really?
Well, in Ireland, I do. What keeps you motivated?
That's a good one. I guess it depends with what, because would that be like training? Would that be like what with work or? Because I guess it might be different things.
Right now, I'd probably ask more in business. What keeps you going in business, especially when things aren't going great? Because that's kind of, I'm at the start of my business where you need a lot of motivation to keep going. You need a lot of good habits to keep getting up, keep working when there's not much, you don't get much return.
Yeah, focus on the bigger picture. I'd say that's one of the biggest things is don't get like, it's too easy to get caught up in the day-to-day struggles, the day-to-day bullshit, basically. Like, you'll have those days where you'll speak to 10 people and every one of them will just go away, mate. And it just make you feel like, it would make you feel worthless. But then you might have another day where you go and speak to a couple of people and they all say, yeah, I want your services, and that'll make you feel fantastic. So it's more a case of focusing on the good, like the good things are positives. But then also focusing on that bigger picture, like what is your sort of goal? Like, where do you want to be? And having a strategy, it's all well and good having like a goal, but having a strategy in place. So like, for PTs, have a KPI. So know that if every day, like, it's a numbers game, isn't it? Really, it's just sales. Mm. So, you know, if you speak to 10 new people every day, like maybe out of 100 people, or say out of 10 people, one of those is going to say yes. So if you can speak to at least 10 people every single day, that's 70 odd people a week, or say 60 if you take a day off.
Yeah.
And then you can just book, say, so that's six people. If you can book those six people in for a like a one-on-one, like a session, like a taster session, then you're gonna hope that maybe at least one or two of those will jump on as well.
Yeah, and if you get
focus on that. And then one thing that I've really learned as well is motivation is bullshit. Don't ever rely on motivation. Like,
yeah.
Rely on disciplines and habits. So because one day you'll wake up and you're fired up and you want to change the world. Do you know what I mean? We've all had that where you've woken up and you've watched one of these little like morning speeches where The Rock just starts going like, yeah, or Will Smith or people. And you're just like, yeah, fucking change lives.
But that's it. It's only worthwhile when you can do that on the days when you don't feel like doing it, you know? On the day you're fired up.
Because motivation, it fails. And then like one day you will wake up, you won't want to get out of bed, you don't want to talk to anyone. And so it's rather than focusing and waiting for motivation, just have daily disciplines and daily habits that you need to do. So whether or not you feel shit or whether or not you feel good, you need to talk to 10 people. Whether or not you feel good, whether or not you feel shit, you need to train. Yeah. Like, do you know what I mean? It's those little things that just help you get through. So rather than focus on the good or the bad, it's just have a couple of just set things you can just focus on, just do them.
Great answer. When was or was there a like penny drop moment when you decided this is what you wanted to do as a career?
Probably only recently. Yeah, probably only since I really joined the mastermind. Because before last month, I've been so focused and so set on boxing. Like, my life has literally been all about boxing to the point where I've almost like lost groups of friends because it's just like devoured my life. So to actually get to a position, like in April, I had this fight, like smashed his geezer on the ring, like won this fight, and then the ref gave it the wrong, gave it to him. And there's an Instagram video where they say his name and even he looks at me, like at me, and looks at the ref. And I look back at me and was like, what? Like, and I was almost like celebrating. Like, I put my hand up and I was like, awesome. Like, yeah, buzzing. And then it just, I don't know, it just triggered something in my head. And I was like, do you know what? I sacrifice so much for this sport. I do everything. Like, I won't drink in like 8 weeks in the run up to the fight. Like I say, so it's almost cost me a group of friends because they're always out. I don't get to see them as much because if they're like, normally nowadays everyone's got jobs and that is to meet up on the weekend for beers and it's like I can maybe go out and I can sit with them for a couple of hours, but then they'll just start getting shit-faced and it just gets difficult. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, yeah, and then after all that, like, And my missus has been talking about like getting a place and all that sort of stuff. And then just kind of dawned on me. I was like, there's no money. And I spend 15, 20 hours a week training boxing. I was like, that's 15, 20 hours a week I could actually put like wholeheartedly into my business.
And for and a better return, so maybe, yeah.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. It's like, I love boxing. It's done so much for me, so much for my life. And I always want to sort of like train and teach people how to box as well and get people fit and fit. But at the same time, it gets to a point when you're like, you need to start thinking about, again, the long game. So yeah. I don't want to be like mid-30s and then be like, right, okay, the boxing game's over and having no savings or anything like that and being like, all right, what am I going to buy a house with?
Yeah, no, I get you 100%. Next one is kind of a different one, but three people dead or alive that you could chat with, who would they be?
Dead or alive. First one would be Julius Caesar without fail. Like, I don't know. I've got like a man crush on him. I read so much of just everything about like Julius Caesar. The guy is just transformed the face of the earth, essentially.
Yeah.
Like, just changed the whole dynamics of like diplomacy, almost like modernized an ancient world. Like, what he managed to achieve in his life just. It's mind-blowing. I'd love to just speak to someone like that just to see how his mind works and what, like, how he ticks and how he thinks, and seeing his perception on little things would be pretty phenomenal.
That's a good answer. Is that one I would have thought of? Two more.
Someone alive at the minute. I'd love Donald Trump because he just cracks me up. Like, again, I'd love to just see what the fuck is going on in his mind. Like, just ask him a few random questions. Like, I'd love to have like a quick fire round with him. You know, where you just say like, right, I'm just going to say five words. Just give me like a short, sharp answer. What do you think? And just say something like Mexicans and just see what he says back. Because
it's hard to believe he's real life, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. I'm quite into my history, so I'd probably have to say someone like, I'd go back probably British, someone like William Shakespeare or like King Henry VIII, again, because it's just, again, they're just great minds.
Yeah.
Or like Einstein, yeah. Someone like that. Like, there's a few, probably I'd struggle to pick between those, but one of the great minds, not really that Henry VIII was a great mind, but he's just a bit of a gangster, wasn't he, really? Like, it'd be amazing to sit down and just see what people like that like would have to say.
What goes on in their head? Yeah, no, I get you completely.
What about you, actually?
A few boxes.
What three would you do you go?
Geez, well, like Einstein could be one of them, definitely.
Muhammad Ali is. I'd have to speak to Muhammad Ali, Henry Cooper.
Yeah, geez, I'll have to think about that. I should know the answer by now. I think maybe Da Vinci. He'd be one I'd be interested to speak to. Einstein would be another one. Probably the guy who there was a, I can't even remember his name, but there was like a biologist who literally most of the stuff we know about biology, he figured out because he used to take so much acid. He thought he could get down with the cells. I think that'd be an interesting conversation. But yeah, maybe The Rock as well. There are a few people I'd be interested.
No, there's a really good book that you should read on that. It's called, is it The English Opium Eater's Diary? And yeah. It's about, what's his name? It's I'll find out the book. I've got it in my room. I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah,
it's basically
we can put it in
it's
the
about this guy's like the 1800s version of Russell Brand. He's like a middle-aged, like he's like a really middle-class, like 1800s, like English bloke. Lives around, I think, the Camden, like Soho-y sort of area. Where was he? I can't remember if it was like Camden or no, it was Soho, sorry. Yeah, West London. The West End, sorry. And he's addicted to opium. But he's just got loads of cash and he's just a baller. Like, and he's just like mincing around the streets. And you read that and then you read Russell Brand's first, that My Bookie Work. There's some of the scenes where like Russell Brand's walking down, I think, Oxford Street, like high as fuck. And then there's one where this guy's doing it like in the 1800s, high as fuck. And it's quite funny, like you can put notes to each other, and there's like certain scenes that are almost like adjacent, but just 200 or 300 years, 200 years apart.
That's crazy. I have to look into that. Yeah, definitely send me on the books and I put them in the show notes below. That's something as well. What is your favorite book at the moment?
Oh, so I like to read to like, I'll have like a personal development book and then a fiction book. Mm. I'm actually, like, fiction wise, the best book is by Connie Wooden called The Emperor Series. It's about Julius Caesar's life. Okay. And essentially from when he was a kid to when he was assassinated. And it's the first, like, probably the first full set of books I couldn't like put down. I read them when I was about 12. My nan got me them. And literally every single one, I read all of them. I think there's four of them in this thing, and they're all about 300 pages, so they're big books. And I've read them all over the space of the summer holidays. Like, and I'd never normally like really read up until that point. And I was just sitting there like, wow. And then I've just been reading that Everything Is Fucked.
Yeah, and I'm listening to that right now as well. Mark Manson.
yeah. So I've literally just finished that. I've just
got to leave it. So read his first one.
I consume a lot of Audible, but I find I don't take it in as well.
I was just going to say that I'm the exact same. I find when I get on the train, so I do like 35 minutes each way on the train each day, so an hour and 10 minutes. If I read the book, I take in everything. If I listen to it, I find myself focusing on other things. I start looking at my phone, whatever it is. Yeah. Maybe a little bit better if I'm walking, but if I'm sitting down, I'm just doing something else.
Well, that's the thing, because I like cycle everywhere. I've got a lot of car here and that, but I work between two gyms. I work at a gym in Hammersmith and a gym in Kingston. It's about 8 miles apart. So we get like 35, 40 minute bike ride. I normally cycle between those. So I normally cycle about 20 odd miles a day at least. And so that's what I mean. I just consume podcasts and what you call it, Audible. But yeah, half the time I find by the time I get to the end, I've taken in about like a couple of sentences or a couple of points at best.
Yeah.
Now and again, I'll get to the point, I have to stop and I have to like type it into my notes on my phone and be like, wow.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's the thing with books as well, because it's just one person talking, it just falls into the background. Where at least when it's a conversation and a podcast, you hear like the change in voices and stuff, you can kind of keep going a bit more.
I almost zone out though, like when I'm off doing my thing, like when I'm like cycling or if I'm just going on like doing some cardio or going to like go for like a little jog, I quite like that. Like I put it in, I hear people talking and I'll just zone out.
Yeah.
And, like you just work, and I can get to the end of like doing whatever I'm doing. I haven't heard anything them two have been talking about. Like, yeah, I just find it like really good just to zone out too as well.
Yeah. Something else I was kind of curious about, what does your current diet look like? Is it like kind of, are you training for anything in particular now, or are you just in like your kind of off season?
at the minute, no. So I'm going to Australia in summer. So my girlfriend's Australian. So we're going back to hers for Christmas. So it's my first time there having like a summer Christmas. So I'm sort of trying to cut, but the things, I spent my whole life in the bloody calorie deficits. Obviously for boxing, you've got to be a certain weight. So I've literally spent my whole life just like eating like a rabbit. It's like ridiculous. So I've actually been all I've been focused on is putting on a bit of muscle, like building up more, like doing a lot more strength work. And it's been nice like that, but then now I'm like, I need to go and start like getting into a beat, getting into my little budgie smugglers and hitting the
Yeah, you might meet James Smith and them over there, so you'd want to.
Yeah.
What is the best purchase you've made in the last 3 months? Or I can phrase it as, what is the one thing you couldn't live without?
Oh, I couldn't live without. Best purchase I've made would be the Mastermind without fail. But if we're going like that sort of aside, going sort of something that anyone can kind of pick up.
Yeah.
A Brita water filter. Now, this might sound ridiculous. So like I drink so much water because obviously I train so much in that as well. So I've got one of these like Brita filters, but not one of the little ones where you just pour it. It's only like 2 liters. I've got this fucking like a box. It's like a 5 or 6 liter thing. And mate, I can't drink tap water. Like I've since moving over to that, I'm like a water snob.
It's one of them.
It's changing. It's honestly, get one.
It's a solution to a problem you didn't even know you had.
Yeah. But then not only that, so it's like in England, so I know a couple of like my girlfriend, she was trained as like a psych nurse. So she's got quite a few like nurse friends. And when they came over here, they're like, we can't believe how many people get like gulls, like bladder stones, kidney stones and stuff like that over here. And they're like, because the water's so bad.
All the chlorine in the water apparently does that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think who knows what's in that in the water as well. You can taste the difference between the like.
You don't need to tell me. In Ireland, we used to get our water from a well, so like it was piped up to the taps, like. But it wasn't like from a water scheme, so our water was just like unreal. It was always ice cold. Like here, the tap water, you have to leave it running for like 5 minutes before it even gets to room temperature. It's so warm. So I actually struggled with that when I came over here first, but it's probably not a good thing that I got used to it. What would be your one piece of advice for anyone struggling to get started in the gym, to start like following, to start working towards something they think is too big for them?
Again, it kind of like comes back to what I was saying before, believe in yourself, like self-confidence. Like when you get into that gym, no one is going to look at you and think, they look like a nut. I mean, no one's judging you because no one gives a fuck. Everyone's got their own issues, their own struggles, and everyone's too caught up in their own shit. Like, and again, think about the bigger picture. Why is it that you're looking to lose weight? Is it like, attach a reason and a why to your goal that is going to actually get you fired up to do it. So don't just think about, I want to lose a little bit of weight. Think about actually, if you are really big, think about you want to actually get to your child's 10th birthday and be able to like dance around at their birthday and be able to go and play football with your kids, or do you know what I mean? It's like, think about something more of a quality of life, something that's actually going to inspire you and motivate you on those mornings when you can't be fucked, rather than just, I want to lose a bit of weight, because, do you know what I mean? Everyone knows that just doesn't motivate or...
Did you ever...
Doesn't inspire self...
What's that?
I said it just doesn't inspire self-discipline. Like, if you're like, I want to lose a little bit of weight, but then someone brings a muffin into the office, you're like... Don't know, you know, it's not gonna offset that instant gratification that you're seeking, is it?
No, exactly. Did you ever read that book, Start With Why? I think it's Simon Sinek.
I ordered it. Yeah, I did.
No, it sounds a lot like his ethos.
I probably only took in about a quarter of the book.
Yeah. What would you say is kind of your ethos or your philosophy in life? What's kind of your what do you feel you were put on the earth to do, or do you believe in that sort of thing?
Yeah, no, do you know what? I've realized, especially as I get older, I'm getting so much more like spiritual. Not as I get older, but I think I've always been sort of very much like that. Like, I do believe in the whole like law of attraction. And not to the extent of like The Secret, the book, where you're like, oh, if I think about £1 million, some motherfucker's going to give me £1 million. Like, I'm not that naive, but I do think the world does work in strange ways. And then, yeah, and I do think people have a reason. If I'm honest, I think my whole aim in life is just to help people feel better and more comfortable in their own skin and just improving their lives, improving their health, and improving the time they'll spend on this earth as well.
Yeah. No, that's a really good one. And I'd be the same. I don't believe in like The Secret. I think what they did was people took it too literally. I know what their point was. It's like, you have to, if you believe you can do it, you can do it. Or if you wish for it, it'll come to you. And it's like, yeah, but you have to put the steps in place to actually get there. You do have to visualize it, but then you have to make it happen as well. And people took it as, if I visualize it, I'll get it, you know?
Yeah. It's like what Brian Keane always says, actually, is we focus on expands. And it very much does. Like, you focus on it, it will happen. But if you're single and you're wishing for a girlfriend, but you're not leaving your house and you're not communicating with anyone, a bird's not just going to kick down your door and rip her clothes off and be like, I want you. Like, yeah. The world doesn't
No, exactly. It's like if you just start wishing that you're going to lose weight, but you stay at home and don't do anything about it, it's not going to happen. But if you go into the gym with that vision in your head of where you could be, you're going to train harder. You're going to make the better decisions. That's kind of the point of it, I think, in a lot of ways, is when you visualize it, it'll subconsciously help you to make the better decisions. But you also have to decide.
It's like that, exactly. And it's like that saying, a goal without a strategy is just a dream. Like, everyone has goals, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, I want to make £1 million. It's like, how? It's like, I don't know, but I'm going to make £1 million. It's like, yeah, it's all well and good. But you need to have systems in place that are going to guide you to where you are. Like, you need your little goals. You need your little short-term goals that are going to lead you to that big goal, not just scratch loads of scratch cards. Well, I guess that could be a fail-proof plan.
Something else I want to ask you is, what does your sleep look like? Because it's something I want to ask everyone in that mastermind, because going by Chris, he doesn't seem to sleep at all. And that's like number one for me on the list of health things is sleep.
Yeah. So if you had asked me this like 2 days ago, pretty good. Good. Like, but some days, like I might be watching him as well. So I'm up 5 o'clock pretty much every day.
Okay.
So I normally start work at 6, and then some days I'm in the gym. So last night I was in the gym till 9 o'clock, and then gotta get home from the gym. Tonight I'll be in being the gym till 9, and that's quite far away. So by the time I actually get in and get home and then chill out for a little bit before I go to bed, it can be late and long. But it's good. I try to really focus and prioritize on my sleep. But the last two nights have been atrocious. I've got, like, you can probably hear, I've got like a little cough. And the last two nights, I'm just, as soon as I lay down, I've not been coughing, I've just had a little cold. But only when I get into bed, I just start coughing.
Yeah.
And then obviously, it just, that stresses me out. So then I get up, so I'll have like 3 or 4 hours sleep if I'm lucky. And then I come into my living room here and I just sat down and then I just start doing work. And then, now, if you've looked at any of my Instagram stories, I probably just end up, I've been going for like runs at like 5 a.m. again.
I'm very bad. I'd nearly be ashamed to say it in that group. I'd be like, I get my 8 or 9 hours every night almost without fail, except maybe 1 or 2 days a week where obviously work doesn't allow for it, where I finish late. Like, I close the gym on a Monday at 11 and then I do classes at like 7 a.m. So like that'd be the only day where I don't get it. But every other day it's just 8, 9 hours.
Good, mate. Like, make that a fucking habit. Because I'm the same. Like, I become like useless if I don't get enough sleep.
Yeah.
Like, but then again, normally I'll try and nap. So like yesterday, I got to about this point in time, and I just went and like a little power nap. So it's like
that makes it up too. So that's kind of everything today. Thanks so much for coming on. Great answers on some of my questions there. I really enjoyed this. Tell everyone where they can find you on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, whatever social medias you're on.
So everything's usually my name, but my Instagram is Kie Leinster. So I just K-I-E and Leinster. See, on Facebook, it's Lights Out PT. So my moniker when I was boxing was Lights Out Leinster.
Yeah.
Or Kieran Leinster as well. And then I've got a website, which is just lightsoutleinster.com.
Great.
But yeah.
Everyone in Ireland anyway is be able to spell Leinster, so it's all good.
Yeah, yeah. All my family from that way. So my dad was in the Irish Guards.
Oh, yeah? There we go.
Yeah, yeah. So Paddy's Day has always been the biggest day of our bloody year.
thanks so much, Kieran. And yeah, everyone go look him up. Great guy. Going to be boxing. When's your next fight?
Well, it's kind of the end of the season now. So yeah, probably not till start next year, probably like March, April time next year.
Okay. We'll look forward to that. Thanks again, Kieran, and chat later.
Yeah, anytime, mate. I'll catch you soon, Dave.